Good evening, everyone. My name is Sipo, and I'm a proud member of Tough Love. Welcome to our 50th episode. I can't believe we actually made it this far, no? But here we are, celebrating 50 episodes of the Tough Love's Brave Initiative series. I'm quite proud to have been your host through this. It's been an honor for me. And I think it's quite form-fitting that today we get to step 8 and 9, no? Now, we've discussed quite a bit about the steps up until this point, you know, spoken about how specific, you know, we become when it comes to our steps 4, our step 5, how we learn how to connect with ourselves, with others, as well as, you know, our higher power, and then step 6, where we learn about defects of character and also become willing to have, you know, this power greater than ourselves, remove them. Step 7, we learn about true humility. And step 8, we start to learn about our commitment. And step 9 is where we actually follow through with that commitment. We take responsibility. And that's pretty much what brings us to today's podcast, you know? Now, it won't be too long to discuss this because step 9 is rather straightforward. And the reason why I wanted to keep it that way is because if it becomes anything else, most people do tend to flounder around it, not really getting to the actual gist of it. The more straightforward a step 9 is, the easier it is to actually do. The more convoluted, the more detailed, and the more broad the explanation, then the more a person tends to shy away from actually doing the work. Now, the step we're currently on is as follows, that we made amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Now, by now in our steps, we've come to learn about a sense of consideration. You know, the reason why I spoke to you about, you know, steps 4 up until this point is because this is the action part of the step work, you know? A lot is more about just conceptualizing and maintaining, but this is pretty much where we actually start to learn how to live, you know? We use step 4 to determine what wrongs we had and, you know, perpetrated, you know, where we went wrong in various areas of our lives. And then we use step 5 to at least, you know, get to a point where we admit that to others. The more we kept it to ourselves, the sicker we got. It wasn't until we let it go that we were able to walk away from these experiences renewed. In step 6 and step 7, you know, we have our defects of character removed, not by us, but by a power greater than ourselves. You know, taking away that wrecking ball that was all those defects that we, you know, swung wildly through our lives. And that brings us to step 9, where we actually start to sweep away the debris, you know? In order for us to live a new life, we have to, you know, build it. Not on top of the debris of the old one, we have to clear that away, you know? So that we can prepare for something new. And in order for us to do that, we have to accept that we don't really get through anywhere in life through trying to forget things. A lot of that process of forgetfulness is what, you know, got us into the mess that we were actually in, you know. We buried emotions as well as, you know, actions and situations so deep within ourselves that they somehow infiltrated our subconsciouses. And in the process of doing so, they started to have much more of a vote over the behaviors that we'd indulge in than we ever possibly knew. Not until we work the steps does that particular influence get dispelled. Do we get to a point where instead of, you know, clearing, or instead of trying to bury our past, we seek to actually unearth it? And the reason why is so that we can eventually get to a point of reconciliation. Now, I was doing a bit of studying recently. I started seeing an occupational therapist, and they gave me this exercise on anxiety and stress, you know. Now, stress is often caused by a definite stressor, you know, something quite apparent. But then, unlike anxiety, it actually has a resolution to it, you know. So, to some degree, the anxiety, in some cases, it can't be avoided. But in the case of codependency, it often comes down to all those things we do that continue to perpetuate problems. That would codependence, you know, I mean, you give me a crisis and it gives me a sense of purpose, you know. That's pretty much how I am, you know. I mean, I see a crisis and I try and rectify it. You know, I don't necessarily try and resolve it, because doing so for some odd reason puts me in a position where I no longer have a sense of purpose. I base my actions on crisis and chaos. I base my identity, myself as well. And most of that is internal chaos as opposed to external. It's actually a result of it. The more internally chaotic I am, the more likely I am to look externally to try and determine my internal being, if that makes sense to you. You know, I look for external things to try and give that what's going on within me a sense of purpose, you know. In a time in my life where I was much more tumultuous, what I would do is I'd often find myself in even more tumultuous situations and charge myself with bringing some kind of something to it. When I say that, I used to think I was in control, but now looking back, it was just trying to, you know, meet chaos with chaos. But when you get to the program, and I'm quoting this from the AA Big Book, it does mention that we learn how to match calamity with serenity. That's something that blew me away when I first read it. I mean, I always thought that, you know, in order for you to, you know, triumph over a chaotic situation, you had to match it with even more chaos. You know, it was a desperate attempt to try and seize control of it. But then I learned that, you know, might isn't always right. And a lot of the times what is really needed is a sense of compassion, which often requires an honest acceptance of what's happened and a desire to be better. And that's typically what a step nine is all about. It's one of those steps where, you know, we actually make that, you know, responsible action to follow through with the commitment that we made in our step eight. You know, we identify all the people we have harmed, and then we set out to try and set things right. A lot of the time, the process of doing so, we have to also bear in mind that, you know, we are the ones that put things in chaos to begin with. And we have to constantly watch ourselves in order to bring ourselves to a point where we don't continuously cause harm. Typically, you know, a step 9 and a step 10 are worked together, you know. Continue to take inventory as we clean up the past. That way we can make sure that, you know, we don't become the very same wrecking balls that caused that devastation in the first place. And that's step 9, you know, as straightforward as it can possibly be. I'd add a lot more body to it. You know, there's various ways on how to actually work a step 9. Typically, people use the cue card method. So you just sort of take a card, you write a person's name, their address, their number, their contact details, as well as, you know, the wrong that you've done to them. And systematically, as you clear away these cards, you burn them, you know, until eventually you get to a point where you don't have any left. And the moment that's the case, you're free from those subconscious influences of your past. Thank you very much for letting me do this podcast. I'm quite honored to make this our 50th one. I look forward to another 50 episodes with you. Thank you very much for letting me be of service. I hope that you have an amazing night. I'll look through some resources and attach anything on reconciliation and resolution to this particular podcast. That way you can have a little bit more of a generous concept of what it is to forgive and move on and heal. Thank you, and have a good night.